Hi, this is Dave from Lola Spinner, and you're listening to Melting Pod, which is my favorite podcast on the web, with Annie from Marseille.
Hello, this is Manny from Teenagehead Music in Belgium, and you are listening to Melting Pod by the very sexy Annie from Marseille, France. You better listen up.
There's a chance to break it open wide, and you find too many clues in this room, and a chance isn't on your side. So you walk among the ruin as a spring bride. Some folks know and some folks don't, and some folks hide it in an overcoat. You never seem to overcome this mountain of mistrust, because there's too many clues in this room.
Good morning, guten tag, bonjour, welcome to Melting Pod, sound and colors from the planet Marseille, today April 10th, 2010.
There's a chance to break it open wide, and you find too many clues in this room, and the chance is on your side. So you walk among the ruin, there's a spring bride. Some folks know and some folks don't, some folks hide it in an overcoat. You never seem to overcome this mountain of mistrust, because there's too many clues in this room.
All the songs I will play in that podcast are coming from Ed Keeper's bootlegs. He released them himself through his own label, Prince Melon Records. Last month he opened a new website, and you can order them directly to him.
Some folks know and some folks don't, and some folks hide it in an overcoat. You never seem to overcome this mountain of mistrust, because there's just... there's too many clues in this room.
So I propose you today the first part of the interview I record with Ed Keeper. We obviously will speak about his label and his new website, but first of all, he will announce a big news I was expecting for years. He is starting a new artistic collaboration with Chris Bailey, and both are planning a duo tour around Australia. Right now, Ed Keeper. Hello, Ed?
Annie, how are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. And you?
Not all that good, actually. I'm a bit sick, but otherwise okay.
Yes?
Yeah.
You find enough in form to do that interview?
Yeah, definitely.
Ah, okay. And today I want to hear the big news, because it was published yesterday. And I heard that you, and I read, that you are doing a duo with Chris in Australia?
A duo?
Yes, a duo.
Right, a duo, yes. That's correct, yes.
I have a little suggestion for you.
Yeah.
Because as you know, I have a lot of problems. The last interview with Mick Harvey,
yes.
And the people understand a duel instead duo, and I make a little research on the internet, and I propose you to say a duellum is a Latin word from duel.
Right.
It came from bellum and duellum, and then duel is not an English word, and duo is an Italian word, so it's a duo,
right,
for musician.
Excellent.
Okay.
No, that's amazing.
And I refuse to say that word in English because I don't hear myself the difference between the both words. It's impossible for me.
Ah, well, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Though you don't want to do a duellum with Chris?
No, no.
No, and you have no sword hide in your guitar, like James Bond.
Oh, a sword. I couldn't possibly advertise that if I did.
Ah, okay. You play James Bond sometime?
James Bond, yes. that's me. That's my pseudonym.
Okay. So what about this duo with Chris, this romantic duo?
Romantic, yes, very. We have sort of been talking about it for a little while, and it looks like it's going ahead. I've read about it in the paper, and they assure me that it's going ahead, so yeah.
And how many shows are scheduled in Australia?
Well, I think at the moment it's 9. We're only doing shows on the East Coast. We're doing shows in Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne, doing 3 shows in each. I was hoping that we'd be able to go across to South Australia and play Adelaide and to go to Perth, and maybe we will, but I'm not sure. It doesn't look like it at the moment.
Oh, Miss, a great tour.
It would be, but yeah, we'll see if it happens.
I saw that it was a little exhausted because this is a show each week in different town, and you are all the time in the plane.
Yeah. It requires unbelievable dedication and stamina. Superhuman.
Two gents born together.
Jet boys, yes.
And tell me about a little the idea you have with Chris to play the music. Will you play old songs, same song, or new material?
I think because it's kind of a... The intention of this is to basically... I think to be, you know, really honest, it's to kind of see whether we're going to enjoy the process and that kind of thing. We're going to be playing some old songs. At the moment, we're not really concentrating too much on Saints material, because we've sort of done that in the last couple of years. I mean, I wouldn't mind doing a couple of Saint songs, but we haven't started rehearsal yet, or, you know, we haven't started to try and work things out in that area, so it's kind of a little bit hard to say. But at the moment, what we're definitely looking at doing is sort of material from each of the catalogue of songs that we've done separately. And how we're going to do that yet, I don't know. You know, whether I'm going to sing Chris's songs and Chris is going to sing my songs, or he'll sing his own and I'll sing mine, I don't know yet. We're going to just sort of experiment a little bit with that kind of thing. And in the process of doing all of that, hopefully there will be this phenomenal thing will start to happen, and we'll start to write some new material, which we... we'll gradually introduce into the set as we do it. It's kind of part of the reason for doing the residency style of show is to just kind of see where things go with it. It's we're both approaching it from a fairly open-minded point of view. But you know, I emphasise it's not the same. It's a duo. And it could be a dueling duo, but it is going to be different to what we've done together in the recent past.
Hey, well, I need you now, that is why I'm hanging with you. Well, I need you now, that is why I'm hanging with you. Well, I need you now, that is why I'm sticking. Say, well, I need you now, that is why I'm hanging with you. Well, I need you now, that is why I'm hanging with you.
Mais will you use electric guitar or acoustic guitar?
Well, probably a mixture of both. In some ways, I'd like to do it all acoustically, and then the next day, I kind of think, oh no, I might do it all electric. I don't know. I don't know yet. It will probably end up being some sort of mixture. I mean, I'll be playing guitar, and Chris will probably be playing ukulele or something like that.
And how do you can imagine to recreate this fusion you have in the old days with Chris? Because in the interview I recorded with him, he told me that this fusion came because you work every day in someone's bedroom. Did you prepare your bedroom for Chris?
Yes, I have fresh and clean sheets.
Oh, more seriously, you are planning to create this music in your studio, in your home studio?
It will probably be the studio as opposed to the bedroom, yes.
You can start with the bedroom and finish in the studio.
Well, the permutations are endless, yes, yes.
Because it's maybe not so good to start with the studio and finish in the bedroom.
Well, yes, I mean... Yes. Who knows where this could go?
And did you plan to record these live shows?
Not yet, but it's not something that takes that much organizing. We may do, we may not. I quite like doing it, just to hear how things are going, if for no other reason. At the moment, there are no plans to. But I think we probably will, and I think we probably should, just on the basis that if we don't do it, somebody else will anyway. So it makes total sense to me personally to record shows, and then you at least have a decent recording of the show around, kind of thing.
And you imagine to use your label, Prince Melon Records?
Well, I don't know yet. I don't think so. I think it'll probably be something that has to be set up in a separate capacity. I think the Prince Melon live releases tend to be things that are, you know, things that I've done solo or with one of my specific bands, and seeing as this is a duo with Chris, who has his own record label set up. I don't know yet. We haven't really discussed this. Well, I've tried, but I haven't really had that much success in getting a straight answer.
Okay. And about this label, Prince Melon Records, you have another big news. You have a new website. Can you give me your address now?
I most definitely can. I memorize this stuff. I live and breathe to memorize website addresses. It's www.princemelonrecords.com.
Way.
You bet.
It's 12 o'clock in the morning. I can't even raise my head. I'm feeling sick of this evening. I feel like I'm going to despair. Watching this electric storm. Looking out of the lightning, hear the thunder above the field. Getting closer each moment, and I know just how you feel. Well, you better believe it, but I couldn't lean anyway. Watching this electrical storm. just to leave this one-star town. And I didn't end up leaving. No, I'm still here in this house. Watching this electrical storm. When you ask me how it feels, and I tell you how it feels, when we had no reservation about leaving anyway, and I knew you couldn't stand it, and I stayed here all the same. Watching this electrical storm.
On this website, what can we find? You have a lot of albums now to sell.
Yeah, there's I started it a couple of years ago when I kind of, found myself in a situation where I realized that I needed to start doing this stuff myself, partly because I wasn't all that happy with the, largely, I think, because I wasn't all that happy with the sort of recordings that were being posted on the internet when people would come to shows and record things. And so I just sort of, I'd hear them and think that, I remember that show being a lot better than that. And so I'd listen to my own recording and I'd think, yes, it was actually a lot better than that. Because sometimes, you know, recording something on a cheap microphone, if you're standing in a room, all sorts of things happen to the sound, and it often isn't all that representative. So, yeah, that was kind of what motivated me, plus the fact that I no longer had a record label releasing my material. So I also thought it would be a good way to start a label to, eventually start recording my next solo record. The one to follow up on Gene Lee and the Yellow Dog. And by follow up, I don't mean the Gene Lee and the Yellow Dog Part 2, because I've sort of put that on hold, but a different solo record, which I'm sort of collecting a lot of material for at the moment, but haven't actually started a proper recording session yet.
But right now you have 3 new albums to the new listener. Because I think a lot of the first album, 2 are sold out, the first number one, and then the first Laughing Clowns Live,
yes,
are sold out. You have 4 albums, and 3 new albums with a Laughing Clowns Live record in at the Basement.
That's correct, yeah.
And then the solo records with a duo.
that's sort of a mixture of various recordings. It's quite interesting. I mean, I decided to put it out as a compilation of live recordings because sometimes on the whole show recording, there were technical problems which stopped a whole performance being put out, and this was a nice way of sort of putting a few bits and pieces together that I thought were quite good, and it sort of works quite nicely as an album. And then, yeah, there's the Honey Steals Gold live CD, and then a different performance taken off the same tour from a different show, the Honey Steals Gold DVD, and then there's the Laughing Clowns DVD of the show that we did. I think it was our third or fourth show when the band reformed last year, I think it was. I get a bit hazy on the dates without referring to my notes, which I don't have in front of me.
Yes, but this new DVD, when they will be released?
The DVDs, we were supposed to actually have copies of them today, and there's been a hold up with the manufacturing, but they should be in the next few days.
Oh, it's a lot of offers. Will you sell T-shirts too?
T-shirts?
Yes.
Of what? Of Laughing Clowns?
Of Ed Cooper solo, the new duo with
Well,
Chris.
We might. We generally tend with T-shirts to do a run when there's a tour. Each shirt is sort of something that you pick up at a show, and the next time you come to a show, you see a different one if we have one. We don't always do them.
May you play all the time in Australia? For the poor European people or the American people or the Chinese people, I have a lot of listeners. And a lot of women, they can't wear male T-shirts, a woman.
No, we make special T-shirts for women.
Yes?
Oh, yeah. No discrimination in my organization at all. Equal rights for all, I say.
And they were sold out, I heard.
Yeah, quite likely. Yes, I don't do all the stock taking myself, but I believe that the women's T-shirts in particular sold very well for the clowns shows.
Yes, means that you have a lot of female fans.
That's the exact conclusion I came to.
So think more for the female fans in the other countries.
I will. I will make a note of that.
Started when I was cleaning dishes, and the phone rang in the hall. I was drawn to it against my wishes, ugly memories on the wall. I didn't count on mass destruction when I saw you. It was a way I made you feel. Hadn't seen such mass destruction till I saw you. Was a way I made you feel. We went to town past the old cafe that exists in the service of our way. They were saying for all these years was true. There never were good old days as such. I didn't count on mass destruction when I saw you. Was the way I made you feel. I hadn't seen such mass destruction. It was the way I made you feel. It was the way I
And I saw in that website there is other albums like Jin Lee, the first album, Jin Lee, Part 1.
Yeah, yeah, but they're just...
And Cruel for But Fear.
Yeah, yeah, there are very few copies of those left. They're just existing old stock that we came across when we were going through all the boxes and stuff. And so we decided to put them up rather than throw them out.
But what is the relationships with your old record company, Hot Records?
Well, at the, they do whatever they do, and I do whatever I do, kind of thing. We're no longer engaged in a sort of an active artist recording label situation, and that hasn't been the case now, or that has been the case now for a couple of years.
But it means they have your back catalogue, where we can find your back catalogue now.
Yes, I know. It's unfortunately at this point in time that's a little bit out of my hands. I think, you know, whatever they have in stock can be purchased online, but I don't know what they actually have anymore.
But because Ed is a little paradoxal, because you are known as a very prolific musician with a lot of albums. I don't know. I don't know if you know how many. Maybe between 30 or 60 albums, and it's a little,
something like that. Yeah.
It's a shame when they disappear from the market.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that is kind of not something that I have a lot of control over. Maybe one day it will be addressed, but I really can't say.
For example, The Magic Mile is one of my favorite compilation with Cruel About Fear. I think it's really bad because it's a lot of work.
Can't you get that? Can't you get those albums? I mean, you can get Cruel But Fair probably for a little while, because we have probably about... I don't know how many, but there's a few copies left. But with The Magic Mile, yeah, I don't know. If you can't get that, I don't know why you can't get it. It's, as I say, it's out of my hands.
Okay. And last question about your recording with Prince Melon Records. What is your work exactly in the mixing or editing when you have the recording at the desk? What do you do?
It varies from release to release. Some of the recordings are desk recordings, meaning that they're stereo recordings taken straight from the mixing desk, and some of the recordings are multi-track recordings, which means that a little bit of mixing can take place on those particular releases.
Because
all of these releases are sort of, even if they are mixed, I mean, it's not approached as sort of multi-million dollar mega productions or something. What I do is I mix the material to give what I think is a good approximation of what the live performance was on that night. And yeah, I mean, I think they work in that way, you know. But there's no attempt to sort of tart them up too much for a sort of a mainstream market or anything. You know, if there's mistakes on the recordings, then they stay there. That kind of thing.
But I ask that question because I was surprised.
Not that we make many mistakes, of course, but.
No, my question was because I was surprised when I heard Honey Steal Gold, the CD, that your voice sound like in the venue, with the atmospheric sound of the venue. And the first album, I was disappointed because your voice was too dry. And this time, there is like an atmospheric sound.
Oh, no, which one were you disappointed?
Now, for example, you have an album you record during the tour with Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
The third one was all desk recording, so there wasn't anything that could be done to kind of make it appear more balanced, I suppose. Whereas the Honey Steel's Gold recording was a multi-track recording, so I was able to isolate the vocal track.
Ah, okay. That was a difference, because it's really a nice difference for when you heard that album. You have really the feeling you are in the venue.
Yeah, well, that's good. Then it kind of worked. Good.
As you turn a face into the wind, made a real attempt to shut out the damn. Don't fall and put on a front. Told me I've heard a loved run. Even though he was the one, I didn't think I'd see you run. Well, I really can't see what you mean when you say he's your main machine. Your love, I sure would die. Won't baby, that your phone told me you're the beloved wrong. Even though he was the one, I didn't think I'd see you run. Well, I really can't see what you mean when you say he's your mean machine.
And now, can you tell me a little about your project for 2010? You have this duo tour with Chris. You didn't give me the date.
Oh, the tour with Chris starts in May. I think the first date is the 12th of May. We're starting either in Brisbane or Sydney. I can't remember, but I'm actually near a computer, so I'll have a look for you if you'd like.
No, I can give that in my blog, too.
Okay, all right. Yeah, it starts in May anyway.
And it finishes in end of May.
Yeah, it's essentially about 3 weeks, I think.
Oh, and maybe the people in Adelaide or Perth can see you.
Well, there are some free days, even though not many really, because we are travelling and we are supposed to be working on some new material, so I'm not really sure how possible that's going to be. When we first talked about doing the tour, I wanted to do Perth and Adelaide, and I wanted to do Darwin, and we were even looking at places like Wollongong, Canberra, Newcastle, Geelong, Tasmania, the Sunshine Coast, far north Queensland. I got quite carried away. I listed about 100 different places, and nobody wanted to do them. So, no, actually, that's not true, but it just wasn't possible to get them all.
Alice Springs, you forget Alice Springs.
No, I didn't forget it. I just didn't get around to listing it. I just stopped because I realized I was going to list every town in Australia.
You never play in Alice Springs?
I have, yes, I have.
Yes?
Yeah.
Because I never saw that that town in the tour of the musician in Australia.
Well, I played in Alice Springs, I don't remember the year, but it was sometime in the 1990s I played Alice Springs. Mm. I was the first person to ever tour Alice Springs, apparently. They were almost going to change the name to Cooper Springs, but they didn't.
And in Europe, when will you come to Europe with Chris?
Gee, I don't know. I'm not sure if anybody would want to see us, but if there's interest, I think we'd look at doing something. I have no idea at the moment.
And you spoke about a new album, maybe Chinley Part 2 or something different? End of this podcast part one with Ed Cooper. I hope you will like it. You can buy his nice bootlegs on his website. I remember you the address www.princemelonrecords.com for the price of two beers, like the barman, the famous journalist in Australia, said in his blog, or for four beers in France because we drink half less than the Australian or the German people. But it's very cheap, and remember, they are released in limited edition. A few already are sold out and will be not repressed. And maybe you will be sexier with Ed Cooper's music in your library for your girlfriend or boyfriend than too much beer in your belly. So you can write your comments on Melting Pod, www.meltingpod.com. In the second part, we spoke with Ed Cooper about his project for 2010, the new recording, and his work with Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Bye, tschüss, au revoir, à la prochaine fois, and stay connected with Melting Pod.
So get your pennies from him, your dinner, your cliches, your stereotype. A thing like that divides us when things fall apart around us, and a play the lion to your land. It's more than exploitation, it's more than morality play. A picture of me is your king of vice, gives life that certain something. Fortune's on the lamb, I am the blood of the lamb in the scheme. There's nothing to cry about. I walk a million miles, but you say, why walk a mile in your search for sex and money, honey? It's more than exploitation, more of morality play. The picture in me is your king of vice, gives like that certain something.